Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Reclamation Nation. Today, I have the honor of interviewing Ryan. Ryan, say hello.
Hello.
I want you guys to have the opportunity to hear Ryan's backstory, kind of get a little insight to who he is, where he's from, and how we got to where we are today. So, Ryan, just to dive right in, can you give us a little insight? Tell us about how you got started.
All right. Well, I am from a very rural area in Northeast Colorado. I am the youngest of four sons. As a child, I wasn't allowed to play organized sports. I think I might have played T-ball or Little League, maybe for one or two seasons, but that was about it. Not really sure exactly what the reasons were for that, but and it depends on who you talk to. I've got a list of reasons why my parents would not allow me to play organized sports, but I think it comes down to the fact that I was the youngest and that I did have some health issues growing up, but nothing so serious. They were just overly cautious and very, very busy parents. Didn't have time to shuttle me back and forth a lot of the times. I was kind of a loner, so I played by myself a lot, going out and digging holes and pretending I was at war and climbing and jumping. And if there was a tree that I thought I could climb, I would always go try it. And if I couldn't get it, then I would use a rope and try to lift myself up. And so I spent a lot of time outside. Mom kicked us out early in the morning on Saturdays because she had to do all the cleaning. So we weren't allowed to come back until the streetlights came on. And that was kind of how I lived my childhood all the way through. No sports, but I was very, I don't want to say athletic. I was very active. And I liked doing athletic types of things. And as I got a little bit older, I started seeing the strongman competitions on CBS Wide World of Sports. Maybe it was ABC Wide World of Sports. I don't remember. It was one of them. And that got me into following Arnold. Remember, this is about 1975 when he was about his heyday. And so I just thought, you know, lifting weights is ideal for me because I don't need anybody else there. I got myself a little 110-pound Marcy plastic-coated concrete weight set, and that's what I had, and that's what I worked out with following Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding all the way through high school. And then once I got into high school, I found out that I could do two things really, really well, and they always went together. I could drink and I could fight. And I think growing up the youngest of four kids, youngest of four boys, helped me with the fighting. I think that made me very resilient.
Was it fighting or was it self-defense?
Well, you know, it depends on who you talk to.
We're splitting hairs.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I found out that I could do that really well. And, you know, I got into martial arts at a very early age. I got really good at fighting, really good at drinking, and about my senior year, I got into a little bit of trouble, as tends to happen. My father, who was a lifelong police officer, had some connections, and I kind of got hoodwinked. I found out later, I kind of got hoodwinked into joining the military. But the military, when I joined the Navy, that was really where it set me on my course to becoming a trainer, because I got to work with people from all over the world, from all over the country, and I was learning things from these really big dudes who one of them was actually a professional bodybuilder who didn't make it in the long run and joined the Navy. And I learned from people like that. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I love lifting heavy things up and putting them down.
So you were in the military for a while. You were exposed to a vast array of cultures and workout styles, et cetera. So tying into that, your philosophy about fitness is a lot different from other trainers. Can you explain a little bit about how you developed the style of coaching that you do today?
Sure. So I was in the Navy, but I was also in the Coast Guard. And in the Coast Guard, I got to work with exercise physiologists and kinesiologists because I was a physical trainer for the U.S. Coast Guard's tactical law enforcement team. We worked with San Diego State University. Some of their people would come over and they would kind of, you know, they'd give us ideas about ways that we could tweak our programming for our guys and how we could change up the styles of training we did. And this was stuff that I'd never seen before. They were dealing a lot more with natural movement. They were dealing with moving the body the way it's designed rather than the linear weightlifting that most people in the gym will do. So I carried that with me. I went into law enforcement after that. I also spent a lot of time when I was in Kansas City, I spent a lot of time at the Buddhist Center there, and the Buddhist philosophy played in later on. These guys, a lot of the guys, and I say guys because that's predominantly who I worked with, but a lot of the people who go into the gym, they're really attacking their workout. They're going in there, they're using their mind to focus their body against the exercise. And I thought, this is not working for a lot of people because maybe they're not aggressive that way. What if we put a little bit of mindful meditation from my Buddhist background in with some of this slow rep, low force training, even into some of the high intensity interval training, because I do some of that also. What if we put mindfulness in on top of this and try to change the dynamic of the workout instead of going in and forcing, you know, the mind forcing the body to perform the exercise, and just understanding that the body and the mind and the exercise all need to be working together. It's all one thing. Let's calm this down. Let's settle down, lower the stress level. And I found out that that has had ramifications and benefits beyond just the workout. So that's kind of how, if you think about my 30 years in training, I've kind of put everything together, condensed it down, and that's the style of training that I really focus on now, is this mindful strength training.
Okay, so in relation to that, though, do you have a target demographic? Are there particular clients that you work with only, or what is your goal with the clients that you have?
I don't necessarily have a target demographic that I would go after. What I do is I accept anybody who wants to work out with me, but they have to be willing to be coached. They have to be willing to be educated. They have to be willing to understand why they are doing the exercises that I'm programming into their workout. A lot of trainers, and there's nothing wrong with this necessarily, I just do it differently, but a lot of trainers write the workouts out. They say, this is what it is, and then the entire group of people will go do that exact same exercise. But what I've found is that there's no single workout that's right for every single person all the time. So I don't have a target demographic. They have to be high performers, or at least the ones who tend to stick with me or choose me and stay with me tend to be high performers, not necessarily overtly successful, but on their way to success. They are goal-oriented. They tend to be more educated and have a very clear grasp of what it is they want, and then be willing to do the work to get it.
Okay, that sounds good. So kind of to add on to that, is there any particular group of people that you wouldn't absolutely work with? Just a big fat no.
Well, I don't work with anybody who is currently under physician care, just because that's more of a legal thing than a desire thing. I don't work with anybody who's under orthopedic care. I do have an orthopedic background. I have an orthopedic exercise specialty. I have a fitness nutrition specialty, a longevity wellness specialty, and it's taken me years to amass these things. But if you're just coming in looking for the beach body in 6 weeks, if you're just coming in looking for the abs of steel or the booty, you know, the best booty workout in 12 weeks or whatever it is, I don't do that. You know, I need you to focus on long-term, because you didn't get to where you are in 6 weeks.
Absolutely.
You didn't, you know, you have to be willing to be educated and willing to be coached. Those are the people that I work with. If you're just looking for boot camp, there's plenty of them out there.
You mentioned that you have multiple certifications. Now, right. Is that something that's necessarily required in your field? Or let's say, for example, I'm a new client, kind of new to fitness and nutrition. I have no idea what to look for in a personal trainer. Am I looking for the one who's got all those certifications? Is it required? Like, what kind of questions should I be asking for when looking for a trainer?
Well, it really depends on your goals. If you are just looking for the boot camp, you're just looking for a way to sweat it out, and you want to feel completely exhausted and spent when you're done, there are a lot of them out there. They don't necessarily have a lot of certifications. Maybe they're very good trainers for what you're doing. But I think you really need to, first of all, have a very clear understanding of what it is you want. For those who want to understand how they got to where they're at, or maybe they already know and they need guidance getting back on the path to health and wellness, you need to make sure that you choose a trainer that has that experience, that has those credentials. You know, there are a lot of trainers who just have the basic certification and they do the basic CECs every 2 years to maintain that certification. And that's all they do. I was never happy with that. Every 2 years, I look to see what I could do that would help my clients more. That's why after becoming a certified personal trainer, I became an orthopedic exercise specialist. And then I noticed that the majority of my clients tended to be a little bit older, so I got the longevity wellness specialist. And then I noticed that even the older clients have a little trouble understanding nutrition, so I got my fitness nutrition specialist. And you know, about every 2 years, I'm looking at a new advanced certification rather than just redoing the same old one. The other thing that I would say, personality has to match. I think that if you and your trainer don't mesh, you're not going to be able to build the rapport and earn the trust as a trainer. But there's a certain amount of trust that I have in my clients too. I have to trust that they're going to be able to do this. I have to trust that they're going to stick to their nutrition plan. There's trust back and forth. And if you don't have a good personality match, then it's not going to work. It doesn't matter how great the trainer might be for everybody else. If they don't match your personality, it's a no-go.
Absolutely. And I can totally attest to that and agree, because the same goes with health coaching. Like we said before in one of our previous episodes, there is no one size fits all. So
right.
You don't necessarily have to fit your client, and your client doesn't have to fit you.
So right.
That's important. There are other trainers out there who are, hey, your money's green, I'll take your money, and you're going to get the same fitness program everyone else gets.
Right? Oh, there's a lot of those.
Okay. So what can we expect from you? What are your goals or aspirations? What are you working toward? Anything that you'd care to share for the future of Rice Fitness?
So the first thing I want to complete is the cognitive behavior practitioner. I want to get that in the bank so that I can help my clients a little bit better understand where they're at, how they got there, but more importantly, how to move forward and really embrace a life of health and wellness. Other than that, you know, I'm looking down the road. Maybe I'll get some of that yoga in that we talked about in a previous episode.
You promised the world.
I did. I know. It's just, I love yoga. Don't get me wrong. I do. One of my very dear friends and one of the greatest influences in my training practice has been a yogi for many years. And I absolutely want to at least start practicing yoga. I've done it before. I can do it again. That's on the agenda. It's just not anytime in the near future.
It's just not a priority on your list, and that's okay.
Not right this second.
Yeah. Right. We have to be true to ourselves and our calling. So,
yep.
Ryan, for anyone who's interested in working with you or getting to know a little bit more about fitness, where can we find you?
You can find me on my new website at ryanricefitness.com. You can find me on Instagram at train_tackletics. And yeah, we'll leave it there. All of my social media is on predominantly Instagram. So best place to go is ryanricefitness.com.
Thank you again for joining us on another episode of Reclamation Nation. We are going to be taking a short break for a few weeks just to kind of close out season one here. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate your support and for liking and sharing. Go ahead and do that now while you can. And we'll see you guys soon for season